To Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. This is a verse that always says something to me. I market my Bible. My Bible's all marked up. I enjoy finding a verse that means something special. And this one does. And I look at it and I think about it, and I suppose I've never explored the depth of this verse, but perhaps we'll do a bit of that this morning. And one of the things that we find here, that we have the power to bless, and we also have the power to curse. And as people living in this hour, we do either or we do both, bless and curse. And as God's people, we are told to bless and to curse not. In ministry, whether it's to the home that we're living in or friends that we know or work, we're either doing one or the other. Somewhere during the day, we've either blessed somebody or we've cursed somebody. The hinge point, the foundation, the important thought of the Christian life is that God loves us. And it's such a wonderful thing to know that God loves us and He cares for us and He's willing to bless us. He's here to forgive us. He has every good thought in mind for us. And I suppose we could spend all our time talking about the goodness of the Lord and rejoice in it. And we ought to perhaps more than we do, except for another thing that we can't forget. And that is the fact that God blesses us and is willing to bless us. Also is weighed somewhat with the knowledge that we are people with abilities to affect others. And it's not just that God's up there and God's around us and He's here to bless us that we're concerned with. But the fact that you're here and I'm here, and that we're either blessing or we're cursing. And the fact that God loves us should bring a response where that we respond in the same spirit and become a part of God's plan and God's pattern and begin to minister the same love and the same light and begin to be a people that lift the spirits of men, begin to be a people that encourage others, begin to be a people that cause pressure to be relieved. But it doesn't happen automatically. And if we persist in that which we are capable of doing, many of us persist in destroying others, destroying ourselves, destroying our time, and destroying our opportunity. It is important as we, as God's people, recognize that we are active in our time to look and take inventory and say, God, I pray that you'll keep me from cursing. How many children have been brought to a place of inferiority because parents continually said, you're nothing? How many wives have heard from their husbands, you're stupid, you don't know anything, you can't do anything right? How many people have felt the weight of somebody cursing them? How many people have felt the cruelty of somebody pushing an attitude and a spirit of destruction into their existence? And as Christians, we know that we have not been called to a work of destruction, but we have been called to a work of gospel, which means good news. And as Christians, we can rejoice because we're not under the curse. We've been set free. The ministry of Jesus opens the prison doors and sets the captives free. The Bible teaches that Christ has bound the strong man, brought him into bondage, and liberated us and said to the prisoner, come forth. Come out of the curse. Come out of the bondage. Come out of all the guilt. Come out of all the condemnation. Come forth into freedom and newness of life. When we look at God, we have to see Him from His worth and His wealth. And when we look at God, He's worthy to be praised because He's good and His mercy endures forever. We look at Him and we find His ability to bless the universe is shown in that all things are His. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got wealth and wisdom and joy and power and ability. And because of His worth and His wealth, He has the power to bless. Not only does He have the power to bless, but He is blessing you right now. And He's blessing me right now. And if we refuse those blessings or fail to be able to somehow touch them, it's not God's fault. God has already placed us in a universe. He's placed us in a world. He's placed us in an hour of history that all our needs potentially are met. Not one of us should be hungry. Not one of us should be without clothing. Not one of us should be without love. Not one of us should be without joy. God has put us into a situation where today is a good day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad in it. And if we're not rejoicing, and if we're not glad today, it's because either we have cursed ourselves, we've allowed somebody else to curse us, we're brought under the curse of our mind being twisted by the power of the enemy, we are cursed with a hopelessness, we're cursed with a laziness, or something has touched us to bring us into a cursed spirit. But remember, the curse has been broken. God has set us free from the power of the enemy. And in the New Testament, we read how that God has come back to men in a ministry of reconciliation. God and men are made friends again. God is pleased to be with us. He's pleased to dwell with us. He's pleased to help us. He's pleased to minister life to us. Because of Jesus Christ, God and men are brought into friendship. And the Bible teaches that you and I, we have the ministry of reconciliation, of telling other people and ministering the truth to other people that God is not our enemy, that God is not against us, that God is not out to destroy us, that God is not out to curse us, that God is not out to bring us into bondage, but He's God who would lavish good things upon us. But we limit our ability to receive from God when we ourselves have not got out of the business of cursing yet. How many times we're critical of people that really we have no need to be critical of? There's times when a mother has to be critical of her children. There's times when a father must be critical of those in the family or someone else that's close. But how often we extend our boundaries of criticism and we reach out and we're critical of people that don't even come under our domain. And as we continually find our mind hindered by the darkness, by the criticism, by the thoughts within that are negative, we cheat God's will and God's purpose in our time. We're called to bless and to curse not. We're called to encourage and discourage not. We're called to believe that God has given His purposes in our time a movement within us. That the blessing of the Lord is not just something that comes toward us individually, but every one of us can proclaim the ministry of reconciliation. And we can rejoice because we have the power to make a decision. What am I going to do today? Am I going to look for something gone wrong? And am I going to curse the day that I live in? Am I going to look for me to make a mistake and curse myself by saying I don't have ability? Am I going to wait for somebody else to make a mistake and curse them by my attitude? Or am I going to begin to sense that I not only am here, but I'm here with opportunities to let the power of God flow through me? And I can bless the hour that I live in. I can bless the people that I touch. I can bless the people that I see during the day. I can bless the hour that I live in. I can come to the place that something flows through me that is life and power that brings hope and joy. Every now and then we all meet some people that we look at them and they are good in many ways, but we sense that there's a horrible struggle going on inside of them. You feel it, you see it, you understand it. There's a tremendous churning going in their spirit. And as you look at them, you see and you feel perhaps a dark, critical attitude. And you just know there's something there that doesn't give life. And you feel cheated, and you are cheated. Because every single one of us, it is God's will that when we walk into a room, health and healing and deliverance walks in with us. And we're able to do that. Not in a place of weakness. You can't bless if you haven't been blessed. You can't bless if you don't have wisdom. You can't bless if you don't have knowledge. You can't bless if you don't have joy. You can't bless if you don't have peace. You can't bless if you don't have humor. You can't bless if you don't have faith. Without these attributes of God in your life, you find yourself barely hanging on. and you scream, "Shut up, world, and give me a chance to have some rest. Leave me alone. I'm under pressure already. Don't touch me because I can't hardly make it the way it is." But when we taste and see the Lord is good and His Spirit begins to work in our life, we begin to know that because of Christ, we are rich. I have peace. I have joy. I have wisdom. I have life. I have in this moment a truth that God is for me. And in the midst of my prosperity, I can rejoice because what I touch is going to be blessed by what I am and what I have. Bless and curse not. It is so easy to curse. Little ways, nobody wants to curse big ways. But it's so easy to curse when somebody has held you up 10 minutes, they come by and you look at your watch and you don't say nothing. You just, you know, and you just watch the person. You know, you've done what you wanted to do. You brought them underneath you. You brought them to the place where that they're uncomfortable. You brought them to the place where that they have to think, "Stupid me, I blew it again." You know, so many different ways that we can curse. You know, you got too much salt in the food. Well, you know, many, many times, sometimes somebody doing something, they know that they haven't done it the best, but they already are aware of their mistake and their failing. And all we do is continually enforce the fact that you aren't right and you haven't done what's right and you don't have the power to do what's right. And you don't have the mind to do what's right. But oh, listen, as God's people, we know that the curse has been broken through Jesus Christ. And we are a people who are being changed by the power of God. And we can know this, that if God has begun to work in our life, and if we are sincere, that God is going to continue His work. As God's people, we understand something about ourselves. We have to understand that there's characteristics that guarantee that we are going to be blessed. There's characteristics that are going to make it happen. Looking in the Old Testament for a moment. Exodus chapter 34 and looking at verse 5. We have here a time in history when Moses is given for the second time the Ten Commandments on the mountain. The reason that he's given the second time the commandments is because he came off the mountain the first time and all of Israel were living in sin and he'd gone up and been with God and they were in idolatry, living in sin, sexual, everything else. And Moses was so angry that he took the commandments and he threw them upon the ground and broke them. Because he thought it's hopeless and it's helpless to expect God to do something with people like this. And that's the thing that happens to most of us. Once we begin to live in our time, we begin to think, "I can't make it with people like this. How can I make it with a congregation like this? How can I make it with a family like this? How can I make it with people like this? How can I make it?" And that's the thought that goes into people's minds. And Moses had the very same thought as he looked and saw the failure of human nature. He thought, "How can we make it with people like this? You can go the world over, but people are basically people. And the only thing that can change people is God. And you can't look at the people that you're in, the midst of people that are yours, and think my problem is them. The people are going to be basically same all over. You're not going to see that much difference. The difference is that God is a blessing God and He causes light to shine out of darkness. And some way, somehow, God can take you, each and every one of us, and cause you to bring glory to your name. And it's not going to help one bit to become discouraged and throw the commandments down and think this people have betrayed me." How often we think that my wife has betrayed me, my husband has betrayed me, the preacher has betrayed me, my friends have betrayed me, the people at work have betrayed me, they have done something against me, and I feel bitter about it. Listen, people are people, but when God begins to smile, people smile back again. Have you ever noticed somebody smiling? It's hard not to smile. Somebody laughing? It's hard not to laugh. It's hard to keep from doing it. Why? Because we are responsive people. And the reason so many of us are cursing is because we've seen so much of the devil at work and we're going on responding to what the devil does. But God is at work in this hour and He's not cursing. He is blessing. So let's respond and begin to bless and see the glory of the Lord come down. It can happen in our time. We project what we feel inside of ourselves so often. I know the most critical person in my life is myself. I'm critical about myself the day I spin, and part of it's good. It's good to be critical if it's healthy, but if it brings you to devastation, and I've seen people leave the church and think, well, I can never make it. Listen, if you came here because God drew you. And if God is drawing you, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. And you can make it. And by God's grace, you will make it. You trust God, He'll bring you through. Moses was disgusted and discouraged and betrayed. A leader who had left his people to hear from God had got a tremendous word from God. He was going to take it back to the people and they were going to be so excited to hear him. He knew that. And then he got down to where they were and he found out how quick people's moods can change. How quick people's moods can change. They had sent him up the mountain with a great send-off. They had sent him up the mountain and said, Moses, we can't wait till you get back. And soon as he was gone, they forgot him. Forgot him completely. He was up in the mountain thinking, those people are missing me. He was up in the mountain thinking, they can't get along without me. He was up in the mountain thinking, I gotta hurry up and get back because they love me so much. He got back and they hadn't missed him one bit. They'd gone on doing their own thing. You see, so often in our minds, we've got a picture and we feel like we're betrayed. We feel like somebody has failed us or everybody, as Moses' case was. And finally, God saw that Moses had cooled off a bit, and he spoke to him and said, come back up the mountain. I'm going to give you those laws again. And so he went up the mountain. God met him there in verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. This verse interests me that God came down and he proclaimed his name to Moses. He began to tell Moses who he was. You know, we have God here today. But who do we have as God is in our midst? Jesus is here. But he's Jesus the resurrection. Jesus the deliverance. Jesus the life. Jesus the joy. He's Jesus the healer. He's Jesus the baptizer. He's Jesus the blesser. And if you only have in your mind the thought of a shadow and that's Jesus, you have a vacuum. And if you only know that God is in your midst, but you don't know what he is, you don't know his ways, you have a vacuum. And God thought within his spirit and said, it is time to declare to Moses who I am. Verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. This is God speaking. I'm the Lord, he says. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. God is standing before Moses and he's saying to Moses, look at me. I'm the God who is loving. I'm the God who is merciful. I'm the God who is gracious. I'm a God filled with truth. Look at me. Know what kind of a God I am. And if we're going to be Christians, it is time for us to know what kind of a God we're serving. He's a God who's active in this hour, not cursing, but blessing. He's a God active in this hour, not destroying, but giving life. He's a God who's active in this hour, not ticked off, not discouraged, not angry, but he's a God of joy, rejoicing. We're serving a God who is good, whose mercy endures forever. And you can never grow. There is no way that you can grow except God proclaims his name to you. That you hear him and you find out what kind of a God he is. Many people find that the name of God to them, and name in the Bible always denotes character. What the person is, what the person does, what the person thinks, how the person behaves. And so God is showing his character. He's showing his mannerism. He's showing his personality. He's God who is joyful. He's God who is loving. He's God who is good. He's God who is merciful. He's a God of truth. He's a God of beauty. He's a God of optimism. He's a God of faith. And every Christian here, if you're not careful, you'll see God in the light of what you've heard about religion. Or you'll see God in the light of what your father was like, your parents were like. Over and over, I come across this problem new again and again, where that somebody says to me, my dad was a cold man. My dad was a cruel man. My dad didn't show any love. My dad deserted the family. When I see people today that have a hard time with God, one of the first questions I ask anymore, what was your dad like? What was your dad like? And I've yet to find anybody with a real hard place in their Christian life. A person who really didn't understand God's love, I've never found them yet that came out of a very loving home. Not one person. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but I just haven't run into it. When I find people having a hard time with God, they've had a hard time with their dad. And it's important then, if we have this kind of a characteristic in our personality, to come to the place where we say, God, speak and reveal yourself to me. And when you see him speaking, you'll find him saying, I'm a God who's come to bless. I'm a God who's come to prosper. I'm a God who's come to teach. I'm a God who's come to minister life. He's good today. And until you understand that, you can't go anywhere in your Christian experience. Once you begin to understand God, because of a revelation, and you understand that he's a God who's come to bless and to curse not, let it get down into your spirit. Let it get down into your inner being that God is good, that he's a very good God. He's a God who would bless his people physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. He's put us in a world that is more than adequate to meet the need of every single person living upon the face of the earth. There's no need for one nation to be poor. There's no need for one nation to have starving people in it. There's no need for one nation of people to be under pain. God has given us an earth that can grow food. He's given us a sun to shine to give warmth and cause things to grow. There could be food and shelter and clothing for every single person living today. This is God's plan to bless, and he's got the power to do so. He never put people here and said, hang on, later on I'm going to get you some food to eat. He didn't put people here and say, hang on, a little later I'll give you some water to drink. But he put food, he put water, he put that which grows upon the hillside, he put cattle, he put warmth, he put everything that was needed before he put men here. And he put man upon the earth to show how good God is. God has placed us here to bring glory to his name so that we can lift our hearts and pray and declare and praise his name. My God, how great thou art. And God is a God who doesn't deal in petty things. It's the thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. It's the thief who is petty. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You've got more mind than you're able to use. You've got more ability than you're able to use. God has blessed you abundantly. God is good. He's good, and his mercy endures forever. Now this God spoke to Moses, and he said, I proclaim my name. Moses could have said, I know who you are, you're God. God said, that's not all of it. I am God who is loving. I am God who is blessing. I am God who is goodness. I am God who is mercy. I am God who is light. I am God who is gracious. I'm all of these things. This is who I am. And as God's people, once we begin to understand who God is, the Bible says they who know their God, they who do know their God shall do exploits. And you can know him
only as a fact of greatness, or you can know him in his spirit and character, and there's a world of difference. And if you really know your God, it will change your life, it will transform you, and you will do exploits. But what God is, by the work of his grace we are. We were made in his likeness, and we have the capacity, we have the ability to bless, we have the ability to encourage. I remember when I changed schools, and I guess I was about 14 years old. Changed to another school system, and I wasn't liked very much in the class I left. So I went to this new school, and something happened, and it was so amazing. Everybody there liked me. First day, there was the big guy in the class. He said, come sit by me. And I thought, man, this is great. Everybody liked me. I thought, oh, I like this school. And that lasted for about 3 weeks. And then everybody knew who I was. I was the kid from the other school. They began to respond to me the same as the other kids did. And I was right back where I started. And the difference was that I inside was my limitation. And I was cheating myself. But even in that miniature little moment, the very fact that I had the blessing of those children ministered to me. Now, when we come into the body of Christ, it's not long until people get our number and they understand what our weaknesses are. It's not long until the wife, she knows us, and mom, she knows us, and the preacher, he knows us, and the congregation, they begin to hear and they know us, and we miss what happened when we first came to Christ. But when you first came to Christ, you had blessing in your life. Now, if that blessing entered into your life, hang on to that blessing by letting Jesus continually bless you. Don't get yourself into a situation where people know you as of the flesh. But remember this, that if God has chosen you, he's chosen you for great things. You are washed, you are clean, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. God sees you in that light, then go on and believe God and rejoice. We've got some pranksters that have been really tormenting the ministry on television. Well, part of their outreach, supposedly, our name was turned into the 700 Club that we would pledge $20,000. And I have got such great treatment from the 700 Club. A special gold 1,000 pin, cassettes that are done it so beautiful you hate to open them. And it's made me feel so good I feel like going ahead and sending something just to get that blessing. Just the feeling that comes, even though I haven't qualified, still I have appreciated the blessing that I've gotten. And listen, you've got a blessing that you qualify for. Because of Jesus, you qualify to be blessed. You're on the inside. Hallelujah. And if you're going to be blessed, you better not only hear God proclaim who he is, but you learn to proclaim who you are. I am not only who I am, not only a Christian, but I am a Christian delivered from the curse. I am a Christian delivered from the curse of Satan, and I'm a Christian delivered from the cursing business. Who can harm me if I be a follower of that which is good? Not my enemies, not Satan, not demons, not the power of hell. I am immune to curse because Christ has set me free from the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. I am a blessed person. I'm blessed because I'm in the kingdom of the blessed. And then there's something else about me that I've got to proclaim who I am. I now become a blesser. How many of us haven't become a blesser yet? We are people who are critical because we're disappointed with ourselves and we're disappointed with things around about us, and we look and we find other people that make us disappointed, and we wonder why people do this, and we wonder why people do that, and we wonder why people don't pay the price in the Christian life, or we wonder why there's hypocrites in the church. And if you're not careful, you never give up the employment of being a curser. But the Bible says, bless and curse not. You bless and let somebody else doing the curse work. You've come to the place where you are blessed of the Lord. And all you have to do is to encourage and strengthen and bless and smile and sing and rejoice. Because this is the day the Lord has made. And we all can rejoice and be glad in it. Because God is at work in our lives. We have the power to bless, and it's real, it's deep. We also have the same power to curse. We can cause people to be devastated. We can cause people to lose hope. We can cause people to defend themselves in the cheapness of their sins. Or we can declare God is at work in the earth. Emmanuel, God is with us. And praise God, because victory is ours, because God is at work in our lives. The Bible teaches that we love Him because He first loves us. Now, the way that you're going to be blessed is by being able to identify with God in a sense of thanksgiving. So many people, when love, they think somebody's stupid. And their wife loves them, and they think she hasn't got good sense. So they don't take any advantage of it. They just go ahead and use her. If the boss thinks they're special, they think he doesn't know what I've been doing. He's kind of stupid. And so they use the boss. Love is not what we use. Love is a treasure. And we look at it and we admire it. And we embrace it and we thank God for it. Now, when God loves us, the ideal relationship that ought to come because of that is that we ought to embrace that love and return love to God because of His wondrous love. We ought to feel a sense of loyalty. We ought to sense a feeling of dedication. We ought to give ourselves over to God because of what a wonder that God should love me. But many people, love from God simply means this. To them, they think, well, praise God, I can relax. I don't have to worry about nothing anymore. If I knew that God loved me, I would have stayed home today. If I knew that there was no problems, I would have relaxed. I thought maybe God was getting ready to curse me. I thought maybe God was getting ready to lower the boom on me. I thought maybe God was really disgusted and I better get back into church before a crisis developed. No, that's not the experience. Be healthy in your attitude. When you see love, you admire it. When you see love, you thank God for it. Love is not something to use. Love doesn't mean you've got power over somebody. Love doesn't mean that you don't have to worry now. But love means, praise God, I found the treasure. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. We turn toward God because things are going well. We turn toward God because He is blessing us. The blessing of God doesn't make us run away, but the blessing of God encourages us. And we think He's good, He's merciful, He loves me. And your heart reaches out in that moment and cries out, oh God, you're so good. I didn't know you could be so good. I'm thankful, God. I want to come into your presence with thanksgiving. I want to enter your courts with praise. My God, how great you are. Many people have only a crisis mentality. Let their marriage get ready to blow up. Let them lose their job. Let the boss threaten them. Let them feel like they're going to go back into drugs. And they think, I got to get right with God. This is not the attitude of a Christian. You're not a person who's running from curse. You're a person who's attracted to blessing. And you look and you sense that God is working in this hour. And He is able to bless every single person here. If we'll get out of the way. He can bless every single person here. But once He does, He expects the flow of His energy to flow through us. and we begin to bless others as well. We bless others with our spirit. We bless others with encouragement. We bless others with a smile. We bless others with laughter. We bless others with joy. We bless others with substance. Here comes the church and they're blessing the world God has put them in. Here comes the church and they're blessing the neighborhood God has put them in. Here comes the church and they're blessing the city that God has planted them in. Here comes the blessers. Bless and curse not. You need joy. You need it desperately. You need joy. The Bible does not make a mistake when it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. There was a man who'd gone to the doctors. And the doctors did him no good whatever. Gone place after place and they had no hope for him. And somehow some truth came to him, I know not how. But he went to a hotel room and stayed for 2 weeks, if I remember correctly. And all he did was bring in everything that he could find that would make him to laugh. Every record, every little booklet, everything that had joy in it. He put it in that room and he stayed there and he laughed for 2 weeks. And in the end period, he went back to the doctor 100% cured. Now that speaks to us to some degree. Even after many of us who have come to Christ, we have found that we're forgiven of our sins, but somehow we haven't really been able to grasp the blessing. We begin to understand how inadequate we are. We begin to understand how many bums go to church. We begin to understand how many mooches want you to lend them something. We begin to understand how many people really don't keep their word. We begin to understand how many people cheat on other people. We begin to understand how much is wrong in the world. And if your Christian experience only shows you how much is wrong with the preacher, how much is wrong with the church, how much is wrong in the world, you're not going to have health. You're going to get pulled down. Now we can know that man is frail, but we must know that God is a blessing God. And even man gets blessed when God begins to bless. Even man must be transformed by his touch. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Christian experience somewhere must be that which equates itself with the joy of the Lord. And joy comes from being on top of things. You can't have joy when you feel like your last day has been here. You can't have joy when you feel like everything is trying to destroy you. You can't have joy when it feels like the whole powers of hell have ganged up upon you. You have joy when you can think, I'm a child of the King. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can afford to give. I can afford to encourage. Out of the depth of my wealth, I can bless somebody else. You'll never bless anybody out of your poverty. I remember when we were working with young people in a special way in the city of Detroit here. And we'd have ladies that would call up or somebody. Usually it was a lady, doesn't matter. But they would be the call that would come up and say, why are you spending all your time with those young people? Why don't you spend your time with people that are older because they were older? And they felt as though they were being betrayed and cheated. Why? Because they saw their need and didn't understand their wealth. Why is it that parents are able to lay up for the children? Because parents have something. That's why they can lay up for the children. They've got maturity. They've got ability. They've got skill. They've got a job. They've got occupation. They've got this that God has given them. And they're able to give to the children. But let a parent have nothing emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and they can give their children nothing. And if we're going to give our generation something, it's because we know that we are rich. If we're going to bless, it's because we know that we are rich. If we're going to prosper the hour that we've been put into, it's because God has blessed us abundantly. that we've seen the devil defeated. I've got a mind that God has given power to think. I've got a spirit to do His will. I've got the ability to forgive my enemies. I've got the ability to go on and believe God for a better tomorrow. And because God has touched me, I can touch others and they can be blessed as well. But if I haven't received from the river, I can't give anybody else anything to drink. You can't bless your hour if you haven't been blessed. You can't do anything to reward others if you haven't had something given to you. And as a Christian, we have to know that something is touching us. The last couple of days I had some fiberglass work to do outside. And the weather's just been perfect for it. And it's been raining, been threatening rain all the way through. And I was able just to work between the